Welcome to our service for the 14th of June 2020. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader of Bedhampton Parish. I'm the rector here in Bedhampton. And it's great to welcome you to my living room. The weather's not been kind to us today, so today I welcome you to join worship in my living room. No doubt, actually, you'd be somewhere like that yourself, maybe having a cup of tea as we worship together. Your living room, my living room. Wherever we meet, God is with us. Whatever buildings we are in, God is there with us and hears our prayers and our worship. This week, we continue to look at the foundations of our Christian faith, asking the question, why should we tell others? We'll explore that later on and indeed throughout the whole of our service together today. And if you want to go more in depth, there is a video on our website where you can explore that further. And I host a discussion group on Wednesday nights, which you are most welcome to join in with. Just send me an email or give me a phone call and we'll talk about how you can do that. Now, you may have heard that on the 15th of June, churches are allowed to be open for private prayer. The government announced that earlier in the week. And as we record, we've not had the further updates on how we are to do that from the government. So for now, keep checking the website, keep checking Facebook, and as soon as we know how we can safely open up St. Thomas's so that you might come and have that quiet time, then we will let you know. I also want to remind you about Missy Church, and just to remind you that actually if you go to the website, there are several groups of resources, several messy church services, as it were, that you can join in with from home. My hope is that Messy Church will be one of the ways that God leaves his legacy in Bedhampton in the years to come. As we meet with young people, that we will see God's legacy grow there. But as we talked about last week, I'm also interested in God's legacy over the years, asking the questions, how did you come to be part of our church family in Bedhampton? And then, what life-changing event has God had with you in Bedhampton? I'm looking to receive videos or emails. I've already had a couple come in this week of how you might answer those questions. Some people have said to me, oh, it's not a very big story, Max. But actually, it's an important story. It's God's legacy. It encourages us that God is with us in Bedhampton. So why don't you take some time this week to maybe shoot a video on your phone? It doesn't have to be professional. And just answer the question. How did you come to be part of our family in Bedhampton? And have you had a life-changing event with God in Bedhampton? I'm going to say, take a video, send me an email, give me a phone call and I'll write it down. But let's encourage one another with all that God has done in Bedhampton in the past and recently and what he will do in the future. Because we're actually here, aren't we? We're here to worship our God, to love God and to love people. That's what Jesus said were the greatest commandments. And actually, one of the ways we can do that is by encouraging one another of God's work, of his kingdom coming in Bedhampton. But let's do that right now as we come to worship our God. Let's take some time just to gather ourselves and come before him. If it helps you, why don't you close your eyes and, as I often say, hold your hands out as though you're about to receive a gift from God. Take some time to be quiet. Maybe just put to one side the worries from the week. Allow God's Holy Spirit to minister to you right where you are now. You might picture God in your mind, however you see him, loved Father. Invite him to sit with you. Invite him to lead you through today's service. Acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is with you, is with us. I wonder what he is saying to you now. Perhaps he's reminding you that you are loved. Perhaps he is reminding you that he is with you through the ups and downs of life. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our worship. Might our worship be to you, might it involve you, might it glorify you. Amen. And now we're going to sing one of those favourite hymns of many people. Amazing Grace.
Oh,
God is gracious towards us, is he not? Now, one of the things we're going to do this week is to use a couple of pieces of paper in our service together. So why don't you pause the video and go and grab a couple of pieces of paper. They can be A4 like this, which would be ideal, or they can be smaller if you have only smaller paper. But pause the video now. Go and grab yourself a pen and some paper. And so having got your piece of paper now, I'm going to ask you to simply put one down and keep the other. And then I'm going to ask you to draw around your hand on that piece of paper. So draw around your hand on the piece of paper. And just like Blue Peter, here's one I did earlier. So draw around your hand on a piece of paper. And if you want to, you can write sorry along the top. Because what we're going to do now is we're going to come before our God and we're going to say sorry for the things that we have done that we wouldn't do actually if we truly knew he was right by us. He is, of course, right by us in all of our lives. But one of the ways that our God brings that amazing grace to our lives is he forgives us our mistakes and our sins. Because Jesus died on the cross that we might approach God. And so we're going to do that now. We're going to draw around our hand and we're going to use that as part of our confession today. In a moment, we're going to write on each finger maybe something that we did that we were not proud of and that we need forgiveness for. Something that we did not do that we perhaps should have done. Something that we maybe went through our mind that we wouldn't want God to know about. And maybe as well, maybe a harder one, but someone who we have not yet forgiven, who we truly need to forgive. That doesn't mean that what they did was correct. It just means that they deserve forgiveness as much as we do because of what God did. And indeed, our first step to forgiveness is to forgive them. And then at the end of it, we're going to receive it. So let's take this time together. Let's just pause. And as I introduce each finger, you might choose then to, if you want to write just something in there, knowing that your God forgives you. And so, Holy Spirit, we come before you. And we bring to mind something that we did since we last sat with you. And we seek forgiveness for it. Father, we come before you and we bring to mind something that we have not done, that perhaps we should have done. And we give that to you. Jesus, our Saviour, we come before you and we bring to you our minds. And we bring before you something perhaps that we have fought, that we would not want you to have known. We acknowledge that you are present in all that we think and do, but we lift it to you knowing that you are keen to forgive us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We bring to mind, indeed, would you prompt us with anyone that we have not forgiven? We say sorry as we come to our forefinger. Help us forgive those who have hurt us. We acknowledge that judgment is for you to have. Father, we receive your forgiveness. Now would you wipe our slate clean, both in our minds and physically as we move on. Amen. You might choose now to fold that piece of paper up that you've got. You might choose to shred that if you want to, as a sign that you are forgiven, or burn it, or simply throw it in the bin. Because those mistakes and sins that we hand over to God are no longer, they are gone because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're now going to have our two readings, and we start with a reading from Anne.
The reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, suffering for doing good. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But to do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that, Anne. And now Susie brings us our second reading from one of the Gospels.
Luke 12, verses 1 to 12. Warnings and encouragements. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousand had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear of the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say.
Thank you, Susie. And now Peter is going to explore that question. Why should we tell others?
Hello, everyone. I ought to begin by telling you, if you haven't already found this out, that I love to talk. People noticed this about me from a very early age. I remember hearing a conversation by my auntie and my mum. Oh, I suppose I must have been 6 or 7. And my auntie said to my mum, "I think Peter was vaccinated with a gramophone needle." And then a teacher wrote on one of my school reports, in the days when you literally could write anything, "If his brain worked as quick as his mouth, he'd be a genius." Well, it seems very apt then that Max has asked me to talk about how and why I should tell others. And let me say right from the start that whether you're an extrovert chatter like me, or if you're a shy introvert, God has got something to say to you this morning about talking faith with others. So why and how should we tell others about Jesus? Well, let's start with the why bit of the question. I think one simple answer to this is, why do we tell others, is to use the words of an old gospel song, "Because the Bible tells me so." Just before leaving earth for heaven, Jesus commanded his followers to go into the world to make disciples, teaching them everything about him. Now, teaching doesn't happen by somebody standing at the front of a classroom and the information suddenly being brought on with osmosis or telepathy, does it? Well, not in the classes that I've ever been in. No, the teacher stands and talks, and by that we learn. So if we want others to know about the love of Jesus, this life transforming life that we can have with him, then we've simply got to speak out. And then the Apostle Peter writes to a group of early Christians in today's reading, and he says this. He says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that's in you." Always, he says, always be ready to tell others about Jesus and what your faith means to you. So that's reason number one. Another reason why we should tell others is that there's just something in our human nature which can't keep good news to ourselves. Actually, there's something in our nature that can't give bad news to ourselves either, but let's just concentrate on the good bit. When Rosalind and I were at Theological College in London, there was a summer ball and we were expected to dress up. Now, basically, we were all very poor students and not many of the women had got ball gowns in their wardrobes. But one day, news came to college that one of the little shops in Southgate where we were had a delivery of excess ball gowns from some big London store. It might even have been Harrods. Well, one of the women was a bit sceptical, but went down into the store, and sure enough, there were all these ball gowns there, and they were at ridiculous prices. She bought one and came back to college and told a friend, who went down and bought one too, and came back and told another friend, who told another friend, and another friend, including Rosalind. And it was great. All the women got the ball gowns ready for the summer ball. The only trouble was that on the night, there were at least six women wearing a version of the same dress. Anyway, the point is, good news spreads. And we like passing on good news. I love telling people about a bargain I've had, not to boast, but so they can benefit too. The Bible commands us to tell others, and within our nature, there's this ability to pass on good news. So why are some of us so reticent in telling others about our faith? A couple of years ago, I listened to a song by a woman called Emily Sandé, and it was called Read All About It. And as far as I can tell, Emily Sandé is not a Christian, but it's uncanny how the words of that song resonate with what we're thinking about today, about being messengers of the gospel. The words in one of the verses say this. They say, "You've got words to change a nation, but why are you biting your tongue? You've got a heart as loud as lions, so why let your voice be tamed?" A secular songwriter says, "We've got words to change a nation." And do you know what? The Bible agrees. It says that ordinary Christians, people like you and me, have the words of eternal life. We have a message which can change lives, a message that can literally change a nation. So why do we keep silent when we should speak? Is it because we're scared of getting our words mixed up or looking silly, or worried that we might let God down, or worried that we might offend people and put them off? Well, can I deal with that last one about offending people and putting them off? 5 years ago, several Christian organisations pooled their resources and commissioned a survey of the UK population about their attitudes to Christians and to Christianity. It was called the Talking Jesus Survey. And you know what? It discovered some very interesting and frankly surprising things. It found out that 80% of our population know someone who's a Christian. It also found out that over 60% of our nation think that Christians are okay, despite the fact that we might think we're marginalised. Actually, the general population think Christians are a good thing. It also found out that more than half of the UK non-Christians know a Christian and have had a conversation with them about Jesus. And the very exciting thing is that 18% of people said that because of that conversation, they wanted to know more about Jesus. And this was especially in the age group aged 18 to 34. You see, more people are happy for us to talk about Jesus than we think. But the other thing the survey found out is that over 28% of Christians, that's over a quarter, don't feel comfortable about talking about Jesus. What did our reading say? Always be ready to give a concise account of the truths of our faith to those who ask. And you see, our survey shows that we have nothing to fear about being open and honest with our faith. And actually, in my experience, people are really fascinated when you talk about faith, because frankly, we're something of a rarity these days. Why should we tell others? Well, some good reasons, aren't there? But how do we do it? And that's where the rubber hits the road. How should we give this account of our faith? Can I give you some very simple tips? The first is, be natural. Tell your own story in your own words of what God means to you. And when I say your own words, always speak in a language that people understand. They don't understand our Christian jargon. Just be natural. Second thing is talk about God and Jesus, but not about church. People are open to hearing about Jesus, but often they've got big problems and hang-ups with religion, i.e. church. So stick to what they want to hear, which is about our faith in Jesus. Third tip, do it all with grace. Our reading reminded us that we need to respond to questions with gentleness and respect. And that's so important. It's not always about what we say. It's equally important the way we say it. So no manipulation, no aggression, no dismissing people or their views out of hand, no matter how much we might disagree with them. And when difficult issues are raised by people, and believe me, they will be, don't get defensive. God's bigger than all of that. You know, people raise those difficult issues for a reason. And the more we take notice and listen to what they say, the more likely we and they are to respond well. So do it with grace and always leave people positive and ready for that next Holy Spirit encounter, which might be with us or might be with somebody else. And finally, don't worry. God will supply all the words we need. The Bible tells us that. In fact, he was there before us in every situation. I want to leave you with some really great advice given to me at a seminar by somebody called Robert Singlehurst, who is the CEO of a Christian charity. And he said that a gentle and respectful conversation was rather like a game of tennis, where the ball, which is the topic of conversation, should keep going between the players. But he also said that when we're having a conversation about faith with somebody who's not a Christian, we should make sure that the other person on the end of the conversation is always in control of it, not us. They shouldn't feel hemmed in. The week after I went to this seminar, I also went to the sauna at the gym I went to. And I sat there steaming away nicely when a chap walked in and began to talk. I thought this might be an opportunity to try out what Lawrence Singlehurst was said. And our conversation went something like this. So I started off by saying, are you doing anything over the weekend? So I hand the ball over to him. He can answer or not, up to him. He said, I'm off to Butlin's in Bognor. And he threw the ball back to me to see how I'd react. Oh, I've not been to that one, I said. But every Easter, we go to a big Christian festival at the Butlin's in Skegness. Threw the ball back to him. Was he going to take it on or ignore it? Oh, he said, are you a Christian then? Ball back to me. I say, yes, actually, I'm a vicar. What about you? Gave the ball back to him. And he said, well, I wouldn't say I'm a believer, but believe me, when something happens, I'm the first one to stick my hands together to pray. And then he said, actually, can I ask you something? And there followed 15 minutes of really good conversation about faith in Jesus. But all the time, I was giving him the opportunity to stop the conversation whenever he'd had it enough. And when it did stop, it was because he decided that it was at an end. I hope he felt in control. I hope he felt listened to. I hope he felt that as a Christian, when I talked, it was with grace and with respect. I don't think I've seen him since. I don't know when the next Holy Spirit conversation he had was going to happen. But I might see him again and it might be with me. But just equally, it might be with one of you. So remember, why and how do we talk about Jesus? And remember that the Talking Jesus survey has found that people in the UK, that includes your families, your friends, your neighbours, are much more open and wanting to hear about Jesus than we might think. If only we'll tell them about him. Because if we don't speak about him, who will? Let's just hear a bit of that reading again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Thank you for that, Peter. Now I wonder, do you have that other piece of paper that I talked about? Again, we're going to ask you to draw your hand on that piece of paper, and I'll explain why in a second. So as you do that, let me explain why. Well, recently we came through the time of year that the Archbishop's called Thy Kingdom Come, where we prayed for God's kingdom to come here in Bedhampton, and indeed in the UK and around the world. And during that time, both the Archbishops then asked us to actually pray for five of our friends. And so what I'm going to ask you to do right now is to, again, draw around your hand and then take some time just to think about which of those five, maybe you've already got them, which of those five friends that you are praying for to come to know Jesus, to apprentice to Jesus, to see that life to the full. You know, I seem to have John, Mark, Matt and Mary and Ruth. They're not actually the five friends I'm praying for them, but those are some names. And you can write one on each finger of your hand and just praying for that. And then in a moment, we'll take some time before Vanda leads us in our prayers just to hold those five people in front of God. If you need to pause the video while you think about this and write them down, then do that. But let's do that together. So hopefully you have your five friends now on your hand. Let's, just before Vanda prays for us more globally, let's take a time now just to hold each one of those that you have on your hand in front of God. Let's pray. So Father God, we hold before you our first friend on our first finger, praying that right now, wherever they are, your Holy Spirit will be with them. They will feel that nudge. We hold before you our second friend, praying the same, Lord, praying that your kingdom will come in their lives. Our third friend we hold before you, Lord. Lord, would you, for your Spirit, engage with them? Might they see people around them who know you. Our fourth friend we hold before you, praying for your Spirit to be poured out upon them. And our fifth friend, Lord, we hold our fifth and we hold all five friends before you, knowing that you are a God of love and that you came for them as much as you came for us. Spirit, would your kingdom come in their lives? Use us to bring your love to them. Amen. So you might choose to keep hold of your hand somewhere that you see it regularly, maybe every day, and just lifting those people to God each day. The Archbishop of York, who retired recently, was reminiscing how he's been doing that. And actually, God has been good. And the people he's been praying for have come to know Jesus. Now Vanda brings the rest of our prayers to us.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that says your ears are attentive to the prayers of the righteous. We praise and thank you that we sinners can approach you without fear. We have been made righteous by trusting in your great love and redemptive work seen in the life, death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We come with our concerns for your church worldwide as she continues to live out her trust and hope
in you during this anxious time of pandemic. We thank you for all Christians who have witnessed to their faith through past generations, and for those who have shared their faith with us. Help us, Lord, to witness to our faith regardless of these difficult and threatening circumstances. Help us not to fear, but to show trust in your great love, mercy, and compassion. We thank you for the technology that enables the church to reach out beyond its buildings, and we pray that many people will turn to you now for hope and comfort. Lord, your word says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Help us to be prepared to give an answer to everyone about the reason for the hope and confidence that we have in you. Lord, what a strange time this is. We have the warmth and the light of the sun and blue skies. We look at the fullness of the trees and the blooming of flowers. We see the busyness of birds seeking food for their young. We marvel at your creation. Yet, for us humans, we are limited in our comings and goings. We are vulnerable before this unseen enemy virus. Increase our faith and trust in you, Lord. But Lord, we see you at work in all the acts of kindness and selflessness that have been generated by this situation. We thank you for all people who are working for the benefit and care of others. We pray for our Prime Minister and his government and all MPs that they will be enabled to make right decisions, working together unselfishly for the common good. Lord, these are unprecedented times, and we pray against negative and unhelpful criticism, especially in the media. We pray, Lord, that you will inform and guide all future plans for this country. Lord, we pray for all families who are finding this lockdown difficult, for parents and children who aren't coping. We pray for families where there is little money. We pray for the isolated elderly population. We pray for all who have lost their jobs. We pray for protection for teachers and pupils who are back in school. We pray for all who are fearful about the future. Lord, this pandemic has affected the whole world, and in this country, every family is affected in one way or another. There is so much loss and heartache in so many different ways. We ask you to be close to all who are suffering. We pray for all places in the world where human suffering has been made so much worse by this virus. As Christians, we know that we are precious to you. We heard from your word that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. We also know that a relationship with you gives meaning and purpose to our lives, and that you never intended for us to keep this good news to ourselves, that you love everything you have made. We ask you to renew and deepen the faith of all Christians and enable us all to tell of your love by our word and our actions, so that we might fulfill your great commission. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we bring those prayers, and indeed all of our prayers, together in the prayer that Jesus taught us as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I hope you're ready for this, because we've got a bit of an upbeat song as we sing our next song of worship, Build Your Kingdom Here. Isn't that our constant prayer here in Bedhampton? For God's kingdom to be built here. That is constantly what is on my heart. When I wake up in the morning, I want God's kingdom to come in Bedhampton. That's why you hear me saying it so often. As we conclude our time together today, I hope this has been helpful for you. And I hope it has helped you walk with Jesus more. Don't forget, on our website there are other resources. Like I said, Messy Church is up there. There's also a communion service up there if you want to have that quiet time with God during the week with yourself. And don't forget to answer those two questions. How did you come to be part of our church family here in Bedhampton? And has God met with you in a life-changing way? Don't forget those. Also, there are many other resources out there. There are other local churches putting services online. Indeed, every many days of the week, I join Denmead for morning prayer. Emma in Denmead is a friend of mine, and she broadcasts morning prayer every day. And it was on Thursday when the morning prayer included this wonderful Benedictus, and I thought we might finish today with our topic of why should we tell others about Jesus. We might finish with this. And so again, the words will come on the screen as ever if you want to join in with these. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, the fruit that shall last. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies. Free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. A new child shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, the fruit that shall last. Go now, my friends, and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Amazing.